without that presence. The Bible talks about the presence of God as an abiding place. Now this morning was awesome. We heard a powerful word from God. Amen? Do you agree? And what we understand from that is, this is exactly of the presence of God. In the Old Testament, when they entered into the presence of God, they feared and trembled. Because the glory of God, the presence of God is so holy. It's so, so holy. And they knew that if I'm 50% in this world and 50% for God, I'm going to die in that presence. And people lost the respect for that beautiful presence. And you know what? That I want to tell you, that's the most holiest presence that you'd ever find. Do you agree with me right now? And when the presence of God comes into a place, we honor that presence. We honor that presence. Come on, amen? We honor that beautiful presence. Many people's got a tough time in the presence of Jesus. Heaven is going to be terrible for you. Because that's what where we're going to be. We're going to be there in the presence of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where time is not of the essence. Amen? We love the presence of God. Imagine stepping into eternity. What it will be like to worship the King of Glory. So we have to understand that, firstly, I need to start off with this. If you have a pen and paper, write this down. The glory of God is not the anointing of God. The anointing and the glory is two different things. It's two separate things. The anointing is not the glory. Amen? Come on, say this with me. The anointing is not the glory. The anointing, I always say that the anointing is man and his gifts. That's when God used the gifts, the gifting upon a man to heal you. Come on, to speak to you, to reveal something to you. That's when you receive the laying on of hands and the power of God goes through you. Come on, that's the anointing flowing. Many people say, oh, the glory of God is here. What they actually try to say is that the anointing is flowing. It's this strong sense of the anointing I feel. So the anointing is when God uses a man. I was in a meeting the one day at a camp. And it was a camp for different kinds of people, different types of ages. And people were sitting all over. The place was packed with people. And I started ministering, operating from the anointing. And I heard God say to me, stand back. That's the only thing I heard. I heard Him say, stand back. And I literally did this. I stood back. And then the power of God hit that place. The glory of God entered into a place. And a man came out. He ran out. He said, he cut himself open from his hip right to his knee. It was an open wound. He said, but Jesus came by and He touched me. He says, look at the wound. The wound closed completely. It closed up. So what is the glory of God? The glory of God is God Himself. When we say that the glory of God is here, it talks about His personality. It talks about who He is. Who understands me? If I say the glory of God is here, it's God and His people. So what God does is a heart that is surrendered, don't need my hand. You do not need my word. You just need to surrender. And do you know what God does? He steps in. And He touches you. And He touches you. Doesn't that excite you? Come on, I'm not talking about the anointing tonight. I'm talking about the glory of God. So the glory of God, we see that Moses had been promised the power of God. He saw the provision of God. But now in the book of Exodus, he says, Lord, now I want to see You intimately. I want to know You face to face. Please show me Your glory. That's the highest demand that any man can put on God. All right, maybe you will catch it this side. It's the highest demand you can put on God. I want to see You face to face. No longer, I don't want to feel goosebumps. Okay, here. I want to feel goosebumps. I want to experience You, God. I want to see You face to face. Come on. Say amen if you believe it. Amen. Now, the Bible, there's a scripture in the book of 2 Chronicles 7. And verse 1, it says, when Solomon had finished praying. Just pause there for a minute. When Solomon had finished praying, what did he do? Pray. Come on, let's try it again. What did Solomon do? Pray. Did he chat it? Did he gossip? What did he do? He prayed. Come on, a praying man is a man of power. Let me tell you something, a praying man always has the attention of heaven. A praying man always, God always hears a praying man. A praying man is a dangerous man. Amen. So the Bible says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Now, in the Old Testament, when there was a sacrifice and they prayed, and when God received the sacrifice, fire came down. Who understands that? Fire is a sign of acceptance. Come on, fire is a sign of acceptance. Fire is a sign of acceptance. A man on fire is a sign that God accepted him. That his sacrifice, the living sacrifice that he is good enough for God. That's why you'll see maybe the person next to you is more on fire than you. All right, let's try this side. When you see the person next to you is on fire, you know that he has been received from God. So this is what the Bible says. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven. It consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Anytime when people start to pray, come on, when I was joined my car and corporate prayer, then there's a corporate anointing. And from the corporate anointing, God ushers you into a corporate realm of glory where you meet with God face to face. That's when the fire of God comes down. I don't need to do anything. God visits you in your seat. Come on, he visits you in the shower, while you're sleeping, while you're driving. The Shekinah glory of God fills this place the minute his people starts to pray. So this is what the word says. He says when Solomon had finished praying, somebody in this place needs to start praying. You need to pray so that fire can fall on you. Come on. And God can receive you as a sacrifice. The Bible says fire came down. It consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of God. Not the anointing. The glory of God. God himself filled the temple. Come on, let's go on. The Bible says in verse 2. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Just pause there. The priest couldn't enter because the glory of God filled the house. I want you to please just play that for me. Continue that. Don't stop it, please. The glory of God filled the house. The priest had to stop. They couldn't. Now, that's the sign that you move from the anointing into the glory, is when the priest stops. Because he can't utter anything anymore. Do you know what God does sometimes? He seals your lips. I was here Wednesday night. Who was here Wednesday night? And we were, I think it was Wednesday night, or no, or maybe Sunday. You'll help me. You'll know what I'm talking about. And I was talking. And the Holy Spirit said to me, shh, keep quiet. And I said, okay, yes, Lord, I will now. I just want to say something else. Who remembered that? And I said, I have to rebuke myself. Now I have to be quiet. Because that's when the glory of God starts to fill a place. So this is what the word of God says. Now many people find it strange when the glory of God comes into a place. But it's biblical. The Bible says the priests couldn't even go on anymore. They couldn't speak anymore. They couldn't minister anymore. Because now God took over. Don't you want God to take over? Wouldn't it be awesome for God to take over? Come on, we need God to take over. So it says, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercies endures forever. So they said, when they saw the fire come down, do you know what the first thing they did? They fell onto the ground in worship. Now you need to understand, you need to pray and you need to worship. Fire comes. Suddenly everything changes. From doubt, God brings you into a place of supernatural faith. And this is the key. When I doubt, when I go through a season, not a season, maybe a minute of fear. Do you know what I do? I get to that place called there. What place, Vessel? That most holiest. Because there, fear dies away. Because fear cannot live where God is. That's the secret. Come on. That's the secret. This is why I prefer to always live in the presence of God. Because there the devil can't attack you. The minute you get out, the attacks comes. Come on, fear comes, doubt comes. But the minute you are sheltered, come on, in the presence of God, as the word says, that he's dwelling, his presence is a dwelling place. It's a place of refuge. Come on, he's my refuge in the time of need. So when you are in his presence, it's like God putting his hand over you. No devil, come on, no demon of hell can come against you when you are in the presence of God. But I say that we shouldn't experience the presence of God just now. We should experience it every single day. You better not leave your house until the glory of God has filled you. You better tell your husband, before you speak to me, let that face shine. I want to see the glory of God coming down on you in power. We need the glory of God. I want to talk about the Shekinah glory. In the Hebrew language, they talk about the Shekinah glory. Now, what is the Shekinah glory? And this is what I'm going to teach you. So, before I'm going to get to this, I just quickly want to give you another scripture. In 2 Chronicles, this is what the Bible says. Solomon prayed. Fire came down. He couldn't minister anymore. Why? Why? Because the glory of God came in like a cloud. Who understands me? All right. And I'm going to get to 2 Chronicles now. I'm going to talk about the Shekinah glory. But if you look at 2 Chronicles 5, it says that the glory of the Lord, it filled the house. It filled the house. But just go back. He says, praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying that for He is good, His mercy is endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Key. They've worshipped. Now worship always draws the presence of God. The Bible says that God dwells wherever He's praised and wherever He's worshipped. Come on, where's the worshippers at? Amen. Think about David. The Bible says David, he was a king. And all of a sudden the ark of God came. Now where the ark of God was is God selected a place where His Shekinah glory can dwell. That is where the invisible God becomes or comes to a place where He dwells. Many people ask me the question, they say, Vessel, why when I come to the front, when I'm here, I feel the power of God? Well, that's the Shekinah glory. That's where the Lord says, well, here I want to abide. Come on, here I want to stay. The Shekinah glory is the manifestation. Or the manifestation of the Shekinah is the meeting of God of men. Amen? We experience this, just by the way, maybe you haven't noticed it. We experience this week after week. Week after week. Who can agree this with me? Here, we experience the Shekinah glory. Hulle noem ons die Heilkerk. Het jy al gehoor van die Heilkerk? Ek wil soveel mense wat sê, please, I can't cry anymore. And do you know what I do? I pray for them. I say, Lord, fill them with more tears. Fill the water buckets up. Amen. Come on, isn't that glorious? So the word says, the cloud of God's glory filled the house. So the priest couldn't continue ministering because of the cloud. The glory of the Lord has filled the house of God. The Shekinah glory is the abiding presence of God. The physical manifestation of God has come to be called Shekinah. The physical manifestation is called Shekinah. This is, we sing songs, Shekinah glory come down. It's God coming to a place and abiding there physically. They haven't heard me. Physically, when you start to worship God from that very depths of your heart, He dwells wherever He's worshipped. Do you get this tonight? For the minute you start to sing, breathe upon me, breath of God. Breathe upon me, Spirit of the Lord. As I lift my hands in surrender, to your name, come on. Most High, I'm yielding to your Spirit. I'm walking in your love. Jesus, I adore. Now what does he do? He comes down. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore your holy name. Come on. Jesus, I adore. Come on, just lift your hands. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore your holy name. And Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are so gentle, so pure and So kind, you shine like a bright morning star, Jesus, what a wonder you are. And now he fills this place. Come on, his cloud starts to fill this place. As that place where Moses stepped in and he spoke to God face to face. Wherever you are, you can start to worship him. Come on, that's the Shekinah glory. It's the abiding presence of God himself. That, my friends, is the highest privilege that any man can have. He promised Moses, he said, I will go with you. That's Shekinah. Come on, when you know that he abides with you, that is the Shekinah glory of God. It's the abiding presence of God himself. And you know what? The Shekinah glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God and the Kabod glory of God walks hand in hand, because what I've seen is the Shekinah glory is the glory that remains. But the Kabod glory of God, Kabod, the Hebrew talks about the Kabod that is tangible. It's a weighty presence. Have you ever felt something strong like almost pushing you down? All right, try this side. You feel like a weight falling on you. That's the Kabod glory of God. But many people, when they feel like a Kabod, they run. They get up and they go back. Don't. You stay as long as you can. Come on, let's try that again. You stay as long as you can. So the glory of God is God himself. Now, if you have your Bibles, look at the scriptures. In the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 5. It talks about Moses experiencing that place where God said to him. Now listen, he says that Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord is Jesus, just by the way. Every time the Bible talks about the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus Christ. Amen. So the word says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Key, listen, here's the key now. He says, behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Secret, if you dwell in the presence of God, you will be on fire, but you will never burn out. No, you haven't heard me. Because that fire cannot consume you. People are burning out. Remember this morning, they're burning out because they're not in the presence of God. This is that you need to understand. Even if this bush, it was on fire. Come on. It was on fire, but it didn't burn out. It didn't burn out. The presence of God is not there to destroy you. Please hear me. It's there to revive you. It's to empower you. Come on, it's to bring heaven down into our midst. Heaven is not there to destroy you. Heaven is there. In heaven, you're going to be healed. You're going to be, you will not even have financial difficulties. Who understands this? You need to understand, that's the dimension that we need to live in. Because there's no need. There's absolutely no lack. Come on, there's no lack. Isn't it wonderful to experience Jesus the whole time? God, I feel the glory. It's coming down. Then Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet. For the place you stand is holy ground. In other words, the Heer het vir hom sê, verneder is yourself for me. In fact, let me tell you something. The quickest way to get into the presence of God is through repentance. Through being clean before God. Amen? Come on, help me out. The repentance is the quickest way. I want to tell husbands and wives, if you quarrel among each other, you miss the glory of God. Quarrel keeps you away from the presence of God. When there's unity, you'll always see the hand, the blessing, the favor, the glory of God upon your lives. Who hears me now? Come on, who hears me now? So Jesus, or the Lord said, the angel of the Lord said to him, remove the sandals from your feet. Verneder yourself eerst voor mij, dan zal ik je verhoog. Amen, come on. So I'm just throwing the scriptures free of charge. This is in the Bible, all right? And I love what Exodus 53 verse 10 says. All the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle's door. Now the tabernacle's door, again, in the tabernacle, the presence of God was, that Shekinah. Come on, the Shekinah glory of God was in the tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, that's the place of meeting. Tonight, this is the place of meeting. I want to tell you something. For those who truly walk the walk, you have become the tabernacle. For Christ lives here. This is what the scripture says. Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Many people live and they think they live in the Kabod glory of God, but they live in the Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory has departed. People go to church Sunday after Sunday, or people skip church. They go to church when they feel like that. That means Ichabod. It means the glory of God has left your life and you don't even know it. Aina, I'm teaching you something. This is what the scripture says. When the ark of God was stolen, they called the place Ichabod, for the glory of God has departed. Amen. I see in scriptures when it carries on, the word says, so they saw the cloud, I put it up the cloud, and people saw it. The word says in verse 11. Now this is Exodus 33. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Now let me just show you something. God spoke to Moses when the glory came down in a pillar of fire. Who understands right now? Who understands me? But the word of God says now God is speaking to him face to face. I'm speaking to a man. Now what people today do, they put God in a box. And what do? Is they want to feel him. They want to feel the goosebumps. But you know what? God is actually saying, hey, if you remove the shoes from your feet, humiliate yourself before me. Come on. Die to self. I don't want you just to experience me. I want you to speak to me face to face. If Moses under the law could see God or speak to God face to face, how much more should we now? Come on, how much more should we now experience that realm where God speaks to us face to face? People are going to cast stones now, but hear me. When I pray, when I'm alone, I know that God is speaking to me face to face. I can't look up. I'm down on my face, as the scripture says. And the glory of God fills this place that I can't move. I weep from the very depths of my spirit. Now hear me. The book of Corinthians, the second book of Corinthians. In fact, the first book of Corinthians, the second chapter. It says that no one knows the deep things of God except for the Holy Spirit. Now, please hear me. God is not just sitting on a throne. There's depths of God that we need to search for. If you see what I see now, you'll run with gladness and jump for joy. Because surely the glory of God is coming. Amen. Come on, I said again, surely the glory of God is coming. Amen. So when the glory of God comes, everything changes. Now, this is scripture. There's deep things of God that no man knows except for the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God makes your worship acceptable. When you start to worship God, He's the one that helps you to get into the presence of the great I Am. That's exactly there where God reveals His heart to you. It's there where God reveals His will. Many people say, I don't know the will of God. The easiest way to know the will of God is get into the presence of God. Get into that Shekinah glory, an abiding glory. Amen? Isn't that powerful? And then you start to seek the deep things of God. There you understand, the more I worship Him, the more He loves that. There you know, the more I pray, the more the fire comes. There you know that I can speak to Him face to face. In fact, I want to tell you this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to tell you this. God is more interested in speaking to you face to face than what you ever realize. The only thing we do is we put Him in a box and say, well, if He speaks to me now, we'll die. Now, let me tell you something. With all respect, if you don't have respect for the power and the glory of God, you will die. Because God will not be mocked. But luckily, I'm talking to real people that's got a real desire for Jesus. Amen. Especially this group. You've got a real desire for God. Amen. So I'm telling you, as a servant of the Most High God, God wants to meet with you face to face. He wants you down on your face tonight, where you come back to the heart of worship. We will come back where you hear the heartbeat of God. Amen. The Shekinah glory, the abiding presence of Jesus Christ. And then the Kabod glory, where the glory of God is so strong, so powerful that it pushes on you. In fact, I want to tell you, that's when you start to smell that sweet smelling aroma. Same scripture in the book of Exodus, where God told him, you remove the sandals from your feet. Now Moses spoke to God face to face, or as a man, God spoke to him. And then Moses came in Exodus 33 verse 18, please show me your glory. The Lord said to him, no man can see my face and live. And he said, I've got a plan. He said, I've got a place by me. Read the scripture. There's a translation, he says that God said to Moses, I've got a place next to me. And then he said, I will put you on a rock and I'll make a cleft in the rock. I'll put you in the cleft, and once you are in the cleft, I'll cover you with my hand. And then my glory will pass by you. You'll see my backside. And the Bible says, then God placed him in that rock. Now you need to understand me. The Bible says, God said to Moses, I've got a place next to me. Where is Jesus? He's next to the Father. The Bible calls him the Rock of Ages. And he was cleft for us. When they hit him and bruised him and he hung on a cross, he was cleft for us. So what God told Moses, in order for you to see my glory, you have to be in the rock. You have to be in Jesus Christ. And when you are my son abides in you, I will cover you with my hand. That's protection. That's provision. Because listen, God doesn't say, I will cover you with my finger. He says, I will cover you with my hand. I will give to you. I will protect you. Come on, this is why the Bible calls him our Jehovah Jireh and our Jehovah Nisi. He will always provide and he will always protect. Come on, if you believe it, give him a hand of praise in this place. He will always provide and he will always protect. Now there's a scripture, I just quickly want to go through this. You can actually just make notes and you can go through it. I don't want to take too much time of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Samuel 5, the Bible talks about the glory of God, the tabernacle that was stolen. Think about this. The word says they stole the tabernacle of God. Again, Ichabod. Now the glory of God has departed. And they placed the tabernacle of God in a room where there was a false god called Dagon. Amen? Dagon. And the word says they placed the tabernacle of God. Now what is the tabernacle vessel? It's the meeting place of God. It's the Shekinah glory. They placed the Shekinah glory of God next to the statue. Langs hier af God. You can study the scripture. You'll see what happened. The Bible says the next morning they came into this room. And here's the Dagon, this big statue, this God. And he fell on his face. He was down on his face. The word says they picked up the Dagon. The next morning when they came back in, the Dagon, the statue, was flat on the floor, hit off. Even, think about this, even an idol must bow his knee in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Even the Dagon. And what I love about this now, come on, I'm throwing this in, come on. The Bible says when God gave David power, now David was a man of the God's own heart. Do you know why? Because David knew how to worship God. He knew how to pull the right strings. Excuse the pun. He could play the harp strings, and he knew how to move the heart strings of God by worshiping. And think about this. First Samuel 16, the Bible says he was making music for Saul. He was playing worship music. 1 Samuel 17 says God gave Goliath in his hands. But what did he do with Goliath? After he hit him with a rock, he took off his head. In the presence of God, the Dagon's head came off. In the presence of God, your enemy's head will come off. You haven't heard me. The enemy's head will come off. God wants to get you there. Even the Dagon. Come on, I want to stir you up. I'm saying right now that in the name of Jesus, even Muhammad is bowing his knee in hell. Come on. In the name of Jesus Christ, we need a Shekinah glory. Knees will bow in that presence of God. So think about that. Isn't that powerful? A statue must bow in the presence of God. Think about 2 Samuel 6 and verse 11. Talks about Obed-Edom. The word of God says, now think about this. David now. David was a worshiper. He was a king. And the Bible says that he danced before the ark of God. Study the scriptures. The Bible says he made funny movements. Funny feet movements. Like when he dancing. That sounds like me. Funny movements. Feet movements. And the Bible says his wife criticized him. Her name was Michelle. The word says Michelle looked out of the window. She criticized his heart. Why did she criticize him? Well, first of all, David didn't wear kingly clothes. He took on the clothes of a servant. And she thought, this guy is crazy. He was supposed to wear his kingly clothes. But David understood that even in the presence of God, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He's looking at a man's heart. He doesn't want my clothes. He doesn't want my robe. He's not interested in that. He's interested in this thing, my heart. The word of God says, Uzzah walked with the Ark of Covenant. Now they're walking down the street and he slipped and he fell and he touched the presence of God. He touched the glory and he died. David said, I can't allow the tabernacle of God to come to my house. If he died, I'll die. And the Bible says, Obed-Edom took the Ark of Covenant into his house. And read the scriptures. Obed-Edom was blessed. For the time that the tabernacle or the Shekinah remained in his house, he was blessed. Can you think about people that walked into Obed-Edom's house, what they've experienced? Please help me to preach tonight. What did they feel? I think niemand wil gevaarlijk nie. Make more coffee, please, and just another cup. Just one more cup. I just want to stay here. And the Bible says when David saw what happened in Obed-Edom's house, he called for the tabernacle of God. He said, now I want the presence of God in my house. Obed-Edom was promoted to gatekeeper. Do you know what a gatekeeper? He was the one that worked in the temple that opened up the gate for people, the priests and those alike, to walk into the glory of God. So when you make place, you make room for the glory of God, God will bring promotion. What do you mean? Let me tell you something. You will be the gatekeeper. You will be the one that opens the gate and help people get into that presence. Come on, isn't that powerful? Obed-Edom was blessed because of the Shekinah glory of God. This is what the Shekinah does. It blesses you. Come on. It restores your household. Come on, somebody. It restores your household. It restores your kids. It restores everything. Shekinah. Come on, say this. Shekinah glory, come down. 2 Chronicles 5:14, the priests couldn't stand. When the cloud of God's glory entered in, they couldn't stand. I know many people judge this. People got no problem when you put your finger in a plug and you get a shock of your life. You fall to the ground. Your heart is on all directions. Nobody says this is the devil. Have you ever seen somebody get a shock of their lives and somebody says, whoa, this is the devil? No one. But the minute God starts to move, the minute you put your finger in the plug of the heaven and you get a shock of your life, people say, oh, hier goed like ek nog laat nie. But it's in scripture. The Bible says they couldn't even stand. If you can't stand, what do? You lie down. Just think about Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says the Word became flesh. And we beheld His glory. In other words, the Shekinah glory. This is what the Word of God says. And He dwelt among His people. That's Shekinah. Okay, he'll get that revelation. The Shekinah glory came from heaven. And He became like one of us. Now the Bible says Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Soldiers came to take him away. And he said, who are you looking for? They said, we are looking for Jesus. He said, it is I. When he said, it is I, what happened? They fell backwards. Because they tapped into the Shekinah. They saw their sight. They tapped into the Shekinah glory. They fell backwards. The word says that Peter said, listen, we are not drunk as you suppose. But what you see now is what the prophet Joel has prophesied. That in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. A drunk man, what does a drunk man do? He falls around. You can't even make out what he says. In other words, they were praying in tongues. You can't understand what I'm saying, but you do not need to know what I'm saying. I'm connecting with heaven. But basically, you're sounding like a drunk man. That's good. This is a sign that it's the last days. For he says, surely in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon you. Peter said, we're not drunk as you suppose. We are just filled with juice from heaven. Come on, we have been filled with a power that cannot be contained. We have been filled with a fire. Come on, I've been filled with a fire of God. We are not drunk as you suppose. This is what Jesus says. He says, do not be drunk with wine. Therein is this excess. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. So they were filled. The whole house was filled. Come on, I'm nearly done. It's time when we say, Lord, let your Shekinah glory come down. Right through Exodus, Moses were experiencing that glory of God. It's the abiding presence of God Almighty filling a place. I'm at a point in my life, the only thing I'm asking God for, as David said, cast me not away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. You think about this. In the glory of God, His power is hidden. When the glory comes, power falls. This is why it's time that we have services again, where it continues day after day after day after day, because the Shekinah has filled the place and He's abiding in this place. You can leave this place, and I don't want to get religious on you. Just think about this. You're driving your car, and you can't wait to come to church. You sit by your work and you slap on my tafel. Sondag kom, Sondag kom. And you get here, you step through these doors, and suddenly, you've entered into a cloud. Suddenly, something's different. If you step into this place, you say, well, there's nothing different. There's something wrong with you. Come on, I feel His glory in this place. Shekinah glory. And then the kabod starts to fall on you. Heaviness of His presence. Well, vessel doesn't stand in the Bible. Well, it's a study the Hebrew Bible, then you'll see it. Amen? It's the Hebrew words. Weighty, tangible presence of God. For those who surrender tonight, you'll experience that glory of God. Are you ready for that glory? Yes. Can I ask you again, are you ready for that glory of God to fill this place? So, vessel, the glory of God, to put it together, it's God Himself. If I tell you that the glory of God is here, I'm just telling you that God Himself is. He's God. People, hear me right now. God wants to meet you. Many people don't want to meet with God. Moses said it. He said, well, now I'm seeing the cloud. I'm seeing this burning bush. I'm not going to go home now. He said, I'm going to inquire. I'm going to come closer. Because I want to speak to Him. Who are you? I want to know Him. Show me your glory. Not just goosebumps. Show me who you are. Show me your glory. Show me your very personality. Show me your characteristics. I want to know who you are. Am I speaking to the right crowd? Or am I in the wrong place tonight? Come on, am I in the wrong place or am I in the right place? People say, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want you to visit me. Now, do you know what happens? When you start to surrender, it's the easiest and the quickest way. How the glory of God takes over your life. It's the easiest way. It's just to surrender. I've seen it in all my meetings in Port Elizabeth not long ago. The first two nights I was praying, I was laying hands on people. We were trusting God for miracles, and the Lord did a lot of things. On the third night, it was the fullest. There was about 600 people that night. And in the worship, I saw people jumping up and down. And it felt for me personally that the building is going like this. And what I sensed, what I smelled, in fact, a hunger. Let's try it again. A holy hunger. I smelled it in the air. A holy hunger. How can you smell that? Well, become sensitive. You'll smell that holy hunger. It's like people trembling in the presence of God. They know He's there. And then I was preaching. And that night I heard God say to me, don't lay hands on people. I will. That's it. That changed my life. It changed my life. I did nothing that night. I just worshipped. And I heard a commotion. I looked up. A woman ran down from the crowd. And she screamed from the top of her lungs. I was blind in both of my eyes. But now I can see. Okay, this side. I was blind in both of my eyes. But now I can see. And when she said that, miracles broke out everywhere. And I just stood like this. And God worked. Because there was a holy hunger. I can tell you, there's five people here now with a holy hunger. The rest of you better get hungry. or you're going to miss the train. This is the problem we are having. We are happy with just another meeting. Come on, if you don't want to be mediocre anymore, lift your hands. I want to see you. You say, "Listen, I'm sick and tired of being mediocre. I want to become supernatural." Yeah. All right, now you better hear me now. You better ask the Holy Spirit, impart to me a holy hunger. I want to become hungry for you. Hunger.